This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm here with Victor Wembanyama. Just completed the greatest rookie season that I've ever seen. That's for sure. Victor, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the season just ended now, and I'm, eager to get some rest.
So this week, I'm going to be getting my official NBA award ballot. And as I fill that out, easy rookie of the year. You'll be on one of my all NBA teams. Second, third team, we'll see. All defensive team, no brainer. First team for sure. Defensive player of the year, debate between you and Rudy. I got to figure that out this week.
I'm curious to know what you think about it.
Well, we'll see where I go there. It's close. Are you surprised by how much success has come early for you? I mean, all NBA, all D, potentially defensive player of the year, all of this. Are you surprised at all?
No, I wouldn't say surprised because to me, it's impossible to be surprised by your own performance, good or bad, because it's, ultimately everything is a result of your own work and your, mentality. So I always want more. So I'm not surprised.
I mean, along those lines, how much has your belief in yourself and what you can become increased? Like, has the dream grown over this past year at all?
I wouldn't say so, but I coming into the league, I'm maybe now I have more of a clear idea of when things are going to happen rather than how or how big.
Like what kind of thing? Like, what do you mean by that? Like,
now I'm not, like, I have more information now on what it requires to win games, big games, to what we like to get into the playoffs, what we like to get in better understandings and also individual performances, how to be consistent. This is all the stuff that I've learned this year.
Now, I think you're already the best overall defender in the NBA right now. The way you change things around the rim, your perimeter defense. I mean, like, there's a play that comes to mind you had against Quickly this year where you just kind of full extension reach, stole the ball from him. Like, you have the versatility, the rim protection everybody sees. What do you see as your ceiling as a defender? If you're already the best defender in basketball, if not just one of the best, like, what is your ceiling as a defensive player?
It's hard to say. Because, I mean, defense has always been, an aspect of the game where I felt comfortable. So it's I'm curious to see it, and I'm waiting to be challenged as well, by my coaches, by my teammates to get new little bigger roles, maybe being able to guard every position, but also maybe for the last position of the game, because as of today, if the point guard, the opponent point guard has the ball, I'm not gonna guard him, there's plenty of possibilities and some unconventional ones, just like offensively.
Can you become the greatest defender ever?
Do I have the potential to do it? I think so.
Now, I think this season, when I think about your season as a whole, one of the plays that comes to my mind is the double block on Jabari Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They have that play going right now. What do you remember from this play? Kind of were turned around.
Well, I remember it's a tough one. because the first thing I remember how I felt was like it was the very end of the game. I'm tired and I'm by myself basically and running back, and I can't. So if I slow down, Green is just going to go by me and get a layup or reverse layup. And if I run too fast, I'm going to be under the basket and too late for to block Smith. So it was a tough maneuver, but you can see the momentum of the ball too. It was hard to stop. Mm-hmm. So it still bounces off the rim. And the second one was just emergency. You know, have to do something now.
That's just all hustle.
Yeah, all hustle.
And I think the hustle aspect of your game, that is something that you've had at a high level all season long. Is that, have you always been someone who brings it naturally every night, or has this been something you've kind of had to tune in, kind of like get yourself in that headspace every single night of the year?
I mean, I think it's something inside of me, you know, even more in the second half of games, I would say, like naturally, I mean, but it's when the game starts, it's just, you know, nothing else exists in the world. So like, this is the only place in the world that's active, you know, for me. So I'm doing everything I can to, you know, to make it work and sacrifices, you know.
Another play I want to look at is your block on Giannis. But with the Giannis Brook pick and roll on the right side of the floor.
Yeah.
Took the contacts. What do you remember from that moment? What went into that play?
I'm not sure. Maybe without the adrenaline, it might have hurt afterwards. If I think I know some body. People who can die from it. But, you know, it was just like a, you know, quote unquote, dumb battle, you know, strength against strength, you know, and I had to resist as much as I can. I don't think I could move. I could totally stop him, but I had to absorb the contact as much as I could. And I think I did as best as a job I could, but it's you know, I'm proud to be at this level this year because before I wouldn't have been able to absorb this contact for sure.
Now, you said like you wouldn't have been able to absorb that contact before. Is that like core strength training? Is that something that like you've really focused on this past year?
Yeah. And also, it's not like, so this is something I've experienced a lot because it's obviously like my own body, you know, different than most bodies. And like not only the strength, but also the confidence that you can do this, because if you're not sure what you're doing, you might, you know, try to take a charge, but make a foul instead and, you know, fall or anything. And so, yeah, not only the strength required, but also the confidence.
Now, I'm curious about this play, just as an aside. That's a Giannis Brook Lopez pick and roll. Too big pick and roll. I mean, like, you run pick and roll this year often, sometimes with a smaller screen. Or is running a too big pick and roll something that you could see yourself doing in the future? Is it something you'd want to do?
Yeah, of course. It's definitely a struggle for opponents to guard. And you can see, like, it's hard to have a scouting report on this. You know, like, you just have to do something. Anything, but you just have to do something. And, but yeah, it's something we've done a little bit this year, but that I would like to do also in the future.
Now, what do you think is your biggest defensive weakness right now?
I mean, honestly, you know, sometimes when I get a block, after I like, so it's like, it's a big effort, you know, I'm talking like a big effort block. I'm not always going like and keeping the play going like I did on the Houston Jabari Smith block, you know.
Like sprinting after the block, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, or like, I have a memory, it was Jonathan Isaac in San Antonio. Like, I blocked him once and he got his own rebound, but like, I was tired, so I was trying to like save my strength, save my energy, and he just had an easy jumper, you know. But so yeah, I'd say this is one of my weaknesses.
What do you think your strength is right now? Because I think about like a game against Shengun. I know you had like an ankle injury that game or something, but like games like that, like, do you need to get stronger as well?
I mean, almost everyone in the league, except this guy here, needs to get stronger, you know. So it's yeah, of course I need to get stronger, but my biggest strength is I don't know. I mean, very simply, I would say the versatility, you know, like being able to have multiple weapons, you know, and to counter what the opponents are going to do.
This year, who is the hardest player you had to guard?
Kevin Durant is up there, but Jokic as well, because yeah, Jokic as well. Even though after each game I played him, I think I defended him better and better and read his game better and better. But it's, I mean, I just know he's going to come back next year with new weapons, you know, and new tricks.
Is that because, like, you're kind of learning their habits, or like why do you feel like you get better, like, after facing them one time?
Yeah, totally learning the habits and trying things. In the game against Embiid, I tried different things, and some have worked very well, some haven't worked at all.
What's something you tried that may not have worked, and then you, like, adjusted? Is there, like, something, like, in that viewpoint you're talking about that you can point to?
So I'm not going to tell you what works.
Oh, yeah?
I don't want to.
You're not going to reveal some secrets? You can only do them. You're giving away secrets that other people could do.
Nah. I don't want.
It's a secret nobody can follow.
I think it's simpler than you might expect. But what didn't work was, Embiid, his mid-range is just so great that, you know, at the nail that, like, you have to choose. Let's say you have to choose what you want him to do. Like, you have to give him some options and to, like, deny others. And also something I didn't do was, like, being the first to make the contact.
I see.
So, and one time he, like, bumped into me, and we're, like, with the momentum, I like, can stop him. So he just had an easy dunk.
So the secret is to make contact first.
No. This is, I would say with Jokic, this is more the case.
I see. Who is the most surprisingly difficult player to guard? Like a non, like, all NBA, non All Star guy. Is there anybody that comes to mind, like, surprisingly tough?
Low key, good, like, tough to guard players. Jaden Ivey, super quick, you know, and so much that even though you want to back up, you know, he can get surprised by
Jaden Ivey. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, he has some big games this year for Detroit, up and down, but he definitely had an impressive stretch. Yeah. I mentioned the quickly steal you had earlier in the year, like, kind of another quick guy doing that against him. I don't know if this translation was perfect. He said, I think it was to a French reporter after a game recently or an interview about the defensive player of the year. He said, I know that Rudy has a very good chance of winning it this year, and it would be well-deserved. Let him win it now, because after that, it's no longer his turn. Is that an accurate translation of what was said?
Yeah.
Okay. do you believe like that? Like, you are the defensive player this year, though, or do you think, like, Rudy, you know, is deserving this year?
So now that the season is over, I'm gonna look more into the games and the stats. But I know it's close, definitely. And but the first thing that comes to mind for me when I hear the two front runners are him and I. I'm glad I'm glad for friends that this is happening, you know, because it's huge.
I mean, he's a 3-time, could be 4-time. We'll see, depending on what happens this year. But
it would be deserved. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, led the number one defense the whole year. He's been dominant for years.
And yeah.
This has probably been his best individual season because of the support he has. When it comes to your basketball IQ on defense, like, you're not just an instinctual defender. You're not just long. You're not just tall. Is there a moment that comes to mind from you this season where you feel like your IQ showed off? Maybe like a beyond the box score play where you look back and you're like, "That was nice. Like that was a great play that you made."
Right now, it's not like a super super smart play, but like what sometimes you know, like how in a pick and roll, you know, like in a pick and roll, you have like I'm talking like offensively, like you have, it's like chess. You have different options. You know, you like. If they drop, you know, you have to stretch the big and, you know, everything. You have different options. And, like, in Denver, we, like, struggle to... I mean, Reggie Jackson and Jokic, we, like, struggle to counter the pick and roll. And Jackson had, like, 3 or 4 floaters. And, like, at the end of the game, I was like, I just had to stop this one way or the other. But I couldn't go on Jackson or Jokic is going to have the ball and it's going to be a big mismatch, you know. So I just, like... I just acted like I was still guarding Jokic and didn't look at Reggie, and he went for a floater, and like last second I went to block him. Like, and it's something I've done multiple times, acting like I didn't see the guy so he thinks he got away.
You're beating him.
Like what?
You're beating the player.
Yeah.
It makes me think about like the next play I have here, your interception on Jalen Williams that you had where you were defending Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren pick and roll. And Jalen Williams threw a lob to Chet.
Oh, yeah.
You're defending the pick and roll, throws a lob, and like kind of with your back turned. I mean, you're the only guy that could do that.
Yeah, and I've done it more than once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it against. I know I've done it against Atlanta for sure. I've done it against, other guys, but it's. I can't remember. No, that wasn't France. That was in the finals.
Yeah, so many times, just all blending together.
Yeah.
Is this your first year making plays like that? Like the kind of like the behind, like over your head, kind of baiting a player like that?
Like this?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I did it once in France in the finals. So it's not the very first year, but this is the first year I have to defend so many lob threats. So yeah.
Are you, in that sense, like, are you kind of still learning some things that you can do on defense?
Mm-hmm. And this is like, nobody ever told me to do that. Like I'm just experimenting, and sometimes it's not going to work, and when it works, I'm just going to keep doing it.
So with something like this, a play like that, you're kind of like, are you kind of like understanding what you're capable of experimenting with on the court when it comes to defending pick and rolls in a way like this?
Yeah. Yeah. Trying things, you know, and sometimes I'm like, if I keep trying this, I'm going to get dunked on every once in a while, but if I can stop, like the alley-oop is one of the most highest percentage, you know, field goal. So if I can stop it as much as I can, it's great.
Now in this same game, this was your first time beating OKC. They're obviously the one seed this year. You guys lost by 36 the first game, by 26 the second game. This game, you won by 14. You had 28, 13, 7, and 5. I felt like watching this game, you were out for blood against OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Did you kind of go in with a different type of mindset that game, the third one against OKC?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's always a challenge, you know, going up the great, going against the greats, MVP candidates. So it's, of course. And especially at home, this was our first game back from like the rodeo road trip. So definitely there was a special energy. Yeah.
What went into it? I mean, like how'd you feel before the game?
You know what? I'm excited before every games, but there's a point like mid-season where it's harder to get a little bit that motivation. And I think this one helped because, I mean, of course, our first game back at home, and there was a lot of stakes for the Rookie of the Year race as well. So there was a lot of motivation into it. And I think this is like a game that helped us and that helped me get back into the rhythm.
For sure. I mean, it was also the game that kind of like made it obvious, if it wasn't already, that you're the Rookie of the Year. You had the big three at the end, and then the moment against Chet where defending him on the perimeter and just block him. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised, but like I could keep the ball, because on jumpers it's more rare that you can catch the ball like that.
Oh, you were surprised in that? Like, it kind of just stuck with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Chet says he can be a 50-40-90 player. Can you also become a 50-40-90 player?
Yeah, of course. I think so. Who's been in that club more often? KD?
I think KD. Not a lot of...
Evan Fournier?
Definitely no seven-footers.
No. But Evan Fournier has?
I believe so, yeah. Or if not, he was very close. But it's not a lot of guys who have. Now this year, obviously, you got that big win against OKC. They're the one seed this year, second youngest team in the league. They won 57 games. Yeah. You guys lost 60. Losing 60 games, what was the lowest point of the season for you?
The lowest point? I mean, I would say very simply, it's the long losing streak, because it was, you know, there was a couple of close games that we should have won. We could have, but we should have won them. And it's just, at some point you need to, you know, there's so many shifts in, you know, energy, because one moment you're so motivated to win. Like, the group is so motivated to win and to, you know, to finally end the streak, and then it's like, oh, we lose again, you know. So, but I'm glad that nobody collapsed under this, or nobody, you know, starting being bad for the group, you know, or being selfish. So I'm glad like we stuck together and we got over it. But it was definitely a tough point.
I mean, you've won a lot in your life, and you know, last year you won a lot. You get to the finals. Obviously, you guys did lose in the finals this year. Losing 60. Is there like lessons to be learned in the losing? Like, what have you learned about, you know, how to maintain kind of like that growth mindset you're talking about, you know, through losing?
I mean, it's one way like the other to learn, but I can remember a couple losses in my life that impacted me, and that just make me more hungry. And just like I react, just how I react to everything in life. You know, there's lessons to be learned everywhere. So it's, you know, I don't have any regrets as long as I did my best.
I mean, it is interesting. I mean, like you mentioned how the team like kind of, you know, stuck together through all that. Like I think after that losing streak, you know, it's late December, you guys get the win. And from there, it feels like that's where kind of your rookie of the year case really started to build momentum. Defensive player of the year argument started to build at that point. Like, I think like just generally from the outside looking in, it is impressive that like it didn't crater, that you guys did build from there and you specifically did.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, it's hard to keep a clear vision when you're, you know, desperately trying to win a game. And but yeah, I'm pretty satisfied of the growth we had together this year.
You were asked recently at a press conference about achieving a quadruple double at some point, and you said, "I know it will happen, but I have other priorities."
Yeah.
Am I right to assume those priorities are like that actually translating into winning, or what did you mean by that?
Of course, winning and getting, you know, helping the group get better.
Now this season, one of the ways you improved the most was as a shooter. You shot 38% on dribble jumper threes this season. 2 years ago, you were barely even shooting dribble jumper threes. Last year, the Mets 92 is at 21% off the dribble from three. What went into that improvement this year for you as a shooter from three off the dribble?
As always, the mechanics work, you know, has been there. But also, I've learned to know myself even more, and it's just, I feel way more comfortable when I have some momentum. You know, sometimes when I just catch and shoot with no dribble, I just feel like I'm, you know, my arms are so long, and my hands are so big. I feel like I'm like stuck in a box. You know how Wilt Chamberlain was very bad at free throws, because he was so good at like hook shots and running, you know, finger rolls, because like he had no momentum and he was just so big that like a free throws, he was just a mess. And I felt kind of the same, because like there's so much going on with such a small basketball, you know? And so I feel way more comfortable when I can, you know, flow into my shot by being in movement already.
Do you expect that at some point that you will become comfortable on those catch and shoot threes though?
Yeah. I mean, I've shot so many in my life that I still feel comfortable, but it's like on a bad day, I feel like, I don't feel great. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you've become, like, I think 2 years ago, again, like I said, you weren't really shooting dribble jumper threes. You were below 70% from the free throw line at one point. Then you became 80% last year with Mets 92. You were nearly 80% from the line this year. Like, clearly, you have, like, amazing soft touch. You have the capability to do that. Are you working with anybody on the Spurs coaching staff or even your own, you know, trainer to kind of improve some of those shooting mechanics or shooting, you know, comfortability on spot?
Of course. And, you know, I mean, there are some big guys who are great, you know, have great touches. But, there's no better answer than just reps, you know, keep working.
Now, this season, I feel like there was a kind of like a little shift in your shot selection midway through.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more at rim, a little bit more from three, kind of midway through. Was that something you dictated, or was like coaching staff talk to you about that?
Both. But it's definitely been a shift in the areas that I feel more comfortable at, and that the stats say I'm better at. And more step backs as well, step back threes, off the pick and roll threes, where I feel very comfortable. And I think this is also a great weapon to make, like, to play make and to create huge gaps in the defense.
Are you receptive to kind of coaching like that, like a analytics based coaching? Do you like stats?
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. This is something I'm very interested at. I love graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know the word. Like graphics. I love stats. I love percentages. I'm really into that.
Okay, so you like seeing what, like, that helps you understand your own game and what to do on the court.
Yeah,
so I'm sure, like, at some point, the Spurs coaching staff or front office must have said to you, "Hey, Victor, here's some numbers to indicate that nobody can stop you one-on-one getting the basket. So do more of that. No settling. Like, have you seen like graphics or stats like that?
Yeah, Pop showed me something, I remember, before the Toronto game and before some of the games as well. I can't remember when. But yeah, I have seen some of those.
So you've been told kind of like, don't settle until the end of the shot clock, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you've been kind of a sponge learning stuff like that. One thing I'm curious about when it comes to getting at the rim, I feel like obviously you've always been dominant finishing at the basket, but I feel like your layup package has expanded a lot in this past year. You kind of have like that, the Sham God move you did on Rudy. You kind of did like a little swooping layup on him after that play. I mean, like this kind of like one motion kind of right-handed layup. You've done that a handful of times, I believe, even with your left hand and other instances. Is it true? I mean, am I accurate in saying that you have expanded your layup package this past year?
Yeah, I guess. But it's not... I think it's a product of my physical development, because it's... always or for a long time been able to and like to use this soft touch like this. But sometimes it's... I mean, it used to be less and less, but it used to be hard to do this type of movements. Like, even on this play, I had a little bit too much momentum on the ball, so I had to like adjust, and still the ball didn't come clean into the rim.
Are you using your offhand more at the rim? Seems like.
Am I? I don't know. You tell me.
I have to pull off the stats, but I feel like you're using your left hand a little bit more. Oh, yeah, your left hand.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've always used it a lot. Almost as much as mine.
Who were your basketball role models growing up? Who'd you, you know, study when you were growing up?
Like the players?
Yeah.
KD. I didn't study players really until some years back. Not when I was small, I just watched them, you know, watch the highlights, watch the games. KD, Giannis. Those are the two main ones.
If you could download a move from another player into your mind, what would that move be?
It would be like, there's something KD does. I don't know if you ever noticed, but like everything he does, even off ball, there's like this one, it's not really a hesitation because it's so quick, but like this one microsecond where he stops, and that's enough to like take advantage of the defender, because he doesn't really sprint ever. But he just moved very quick, and he's got that, like, that KD timing, I call it, like, on every one of his movements. And it's, once I've noticed it, it's become flagrant, but it's so hard. I tried to do it, but I'm going to work on it this summer, but it's so hard to do.
Talking like kind of change of pace, like that, like off ball.
Yeah, but he's really the only one that does it this way. I don't know. I really don't know how.
Is there a play that comes to mind, like a specific moment with him doing
honestly,
it?
Honestly, he does it
all the time.
10 times a game. So it's...
What moves or, you know, what, you know, kind of skills are you working on developing next? What's the plan for this summer?
So I've thought about, you know, working on, this is more like on the physical aspect, but like often when I get the advantage in my defender after like a fake or a jab step or whatever, like I go to the basket, but when the defender comes back, he can knock me off a little bit, my balance. So when I'm going baseline, for example, I just have to pass it or get rid of the ball. So I'm trying to work on like taking more sharp angles and being a little bit lower, maybe on my legs to bump into the defender or resist.
So like that, you're really like even further improving your ability to attack the basket.
Yeah, and my finish if I work on that, my finishing is gonna get much, much better.
Now, I know like certain trainers out there like to add one skill or two skills every summer when they're working with a player, and players might want to focus on one or two things. Do you like, are you trying to like work on like a group of things, like multiple things at once? Like how do you kind of approach your training as a player? Like is it one thing at a time, or are you kind of working on everything at once?
I would say one at a time, but at least a couple. And, every summer I've added things and I'm trying to keep adding things every summer. But yeah, there are some moves that I'm waiting to try.
I want to talk about your playmaking, because I think your passing ability is kind of, it was underrated overseas. I think people are starting to wake up to it, but in general, your selflessness as a player earlier in the year, you had this kind of play at the end of the game, you dished the Trey Jones. you could have taken the shot, you could have done it, but you passed to the open man. I thought that kind of detailed your ability to be selfless. And then in a game pretty recently against the Sixers, ball was inbounded to you. Was this a design play where you kind of just tapped it out to Champagne in the corner?
No, but I just saw three guys.
That wasn't designed.
No.
Wow.
But it's, I mean, we were just trying to get a bucket, really. And, you know, it's sometimes the teams choose to make this choice, and I chose to trust my teammates. So I think this one was the right play.
So that you saw all the guys coming around you in the moment, yeah. You kind of knew that he would be open in the corner, yeah. Considering all the defensive attention.
Mm-hmm. And I knew he was right here, the shooter.
Have you sensed, or have you, like, maybe even the numbers indicate this, you know, with what the Spurs have shown you, are you seeing more double teams over the course of this season?
Yeah.
How have you responded to those? Do you feel like that's kind of like allowed you to become more of a playmaker?
I think it's not only for me, but I think it's great for the team that this happens, because we're having a historical season in terms of passing because of those double teams, really, because we just, the best way to find open shots is to make passes, you know, when the defense decides to do this. So it's, I'm thinking about the game in New Orleans. You know, we had some crazy good team plays, you know, just because they were doubling every time. Let's keep doing that, you know. Let's keep eliminating one defender, and we're going to share the ball. And not everyone does this.
I mean, it's kind of like you and like the team collectively are learning how, like, with you like drawing attention, you like your scoring could be weaponized to turn you into a passer. Like, it makes me think about many years ago, I interviewed Joel Embiid. I think it was after like his second season, maybe during his second season, something like that. And Embiid said to me on the podcast, he's like, you know, I'm dead ass serious that I can be a point guard. And at the time, like, he's like true, you know, low post center, like not even shooting threes as much as he did now. And now you look at him, like, they're running DHOs through him with Philadelphia, Nick Nurse's offense. They're using him, like, you know, more like Jokic, not quite to that extent. But, like, there's a lot of centers or big guys who are playmaking hubs for their offenses. Do you think you kind of have the capacity to someday be the quote-unquote, you know, Spurs point guard?
Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's the future of the game. So, I mean, you see that. Even Giannis, you know, this is really the usage of all the weapons, you know, and it's working. So I think I'm glad we started early on to do that, but I'm sure it's also the future. Yeah.
I mean, it's the future, you know, in a way, because, like, do you feel like you kind of grew up differently than maybe you would have 20, 30 years ago with the ball in your hands?
Yeah. And also, I never tried to put me in a box, you know, and always experimenting.
Is that why you don't like to be called a center?
I mean, when I play center, I don't mind being called a center. but like, yeah. Otherwise, my position has never really been my favorite in a normal position.
Puts you in a box, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think basketball is so positionless at this point anyway. I mean, yeah. You have like 6'2" guys setting screens and rolling to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's positionless in that sense. I'm sure with Popovich, like, right. your kind of selfless approach to the game, that probably makes him very happy, right?
Yeah. I mean, he told me he was glad that I, you know, I'm doing all I do, you know, for the team and not trying to, yeah, I mean, just trying to get the team and like my team is as good as we can.
What's your favorite part about being coached by him?
Favorite part, like the accountability. He doesn't care who you are and, you know, whoever, you know, you're a vet, you're a rookie, he's going to treat you the same and tell you when you mess up.
Has he been, you know, easier or harder to deal with as a coach than you might have anticipated going in?
I'd say easier because I would think before meeting him, I would have thought he was like more of an asshole. You know, not, but he's actually very, very fair, you know. And I mean, what we hear of Popovich, you know, growing up, it's like, like crazy coach and, you know, I mean, super, super great coach, of course. But, and he's actually pretty fair, you know, not, there's some unfair coaches, but he's fair.
I mean, it sounds like everything you're saying is like the way he was for years, like with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and all those guys. He treated everybody the same.
Yeah.
You know, with that said, like you say, Popovich has been fair. What's the angriest you've made Greg Popovich this season?
It's got to be on one of those the shots where I set all for, you know, mid-range or whatever, or fade away when I don't need to, and like multiple months into the season, because this is like, and when he tells me, yeah, this is what you were doing day one, it means like, it feels like not a disappointment, but like, yeah, okay, I messed up. Like, I learned that 6 months ago. I need to stop, you know.
Who's the former Spur you wish you could play with the most?
When Manu has been around so often, and, you know, it's just, I think it would have been great to play with him. You know, his, the way he hustles and just gives so much on the court.
Talk about an unstoppable pick and roll, you and Manu. How often do you talk to Tim Duncan?
Whenever he visits, you know, the games or at practice.
Now, are you familiar with the net rating stat?
Defensively?
Defense
and offense, yeah, the combination.
Yeah. So, like, offensive rating being, like, points per 100 possessions, and then net rating is, like, offensive, you know. Yes. So, like, this season, you know, you guys, you know, last year the Spurs were 30th in net rating. This year, you guys were 25th. However, you guys, with you on the floor this season, I think the improvement has been remarkable. So I just want to throw the stats at you. First 27 games of the season, the Spurs were a minus 8.6 when you were on the floor. And then that's when you moved to the five full time. The 22 games after that until the All-Star break, minus 2.7, a little bit better. But then in the 22 games since the All-Star break, the Spurs have been a plus 2.4 with you on the floor. That amount of improvement in a single season, like, I think is unheard of. I know the wins have not always translated, but does that give you some level of confidence when you look ahead, even to as soon as next season, about what the team could be?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good improvement. And this is one more reason I'm satisfied with it this year. And as we said before, there's even more stuff to experiment and to, you know, to develop defensively. But at least we have some, you know, some info now on what we can do and what we do well.
I mean, you talk about like experimentation defensively. Do you feel like the team, you know, as they build forward, is it about adding more offensive pieces around you? Is it adding more defensive pieces around you? What are your kind of expectations in the months ahead, you know, going into next year?
My expectations are, you know, I mean, I trust the front office and the coaches, and the truth is, I don't know. You know, I've learned a lot this year, and that's, we've gotten so much better from day one to 82nd game. But I don't know, and I'm sure, like, the coaches will let me know what are the new roads of progression, you know, we want to take. And but I don't know, this is the only team I've ever known.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, with how great you are already, back in November I did like my top 50 player rankings. I had you, I think, 24th or 25th, and then I did it again in late February, early March. I had you, I think, 14th or 15th. And I think at this point, end of the year, you continually get better. Like, every 2-3 months, you're continuing to improve over your past version of yourself. At this point, like, you're arguably one of the 10 best players in the league. So, like, in the same way that people talk about how you kind of warp the court with how you can defend and what you offer offensively, you kind of also kind of warp what the Spurs front office has to think about when they assess, like, how to build around you and how soon to do certain things. Because I feel like you could plop Victor Wembanyama on the Suns in place of KD, and arguably they're better. You could plop yourself onto the Heat in place of Bam Adebayo, and arguably they're better. They are better. They just straight up are. And that's such an unusual thing to say about a rookie player. And so it is going to be very interesting to see, like, how soon things are accelerated there, because I'm sure players also recognize that too. Does anybody talk to you about teaming up already?
I've received some messages, even from like prospects, you know, that, you know, I try to stay in my role and, you know, it's, yeah, it's a whole new world for it's a whole new world and that I'm eager to discover. But for sure, one day or the other, I have to be involved in this, I guess, even though I'm, you know, staying my role as a player.
Now, you mentioned the prospects. The Spurs could have two lottery picks this year, depending on what happens in the lottery with the Raptors pick that they could have incoming. A lot of French prospects, Zachary Risacher, Alex Sarr, Tijan Salon, number of guys. Do you know anything about any of those guys?
What? Of course. Man, these are all guys I've known for years.
What's the scouting report?
Man, I mean, this is all guys I've known for years.
Mm-hmm. Played with and against them?
Yeah. Not too many, because they're 1 year younger than me. But like, you know what? Ryan Rupert from Portland and Tijan Salon. And like all of our sisters were on the national team together. Wow. So I've met him like 7 years ago. And we just hung out together for like a week. And so this is when I met those guys. And Alex Sarr, I met him like 4 or 5 years ago. He was my teammate as well. So yeah. I know a lot about these guys, and I'm just so confident for them.
I mean, Salon could be one of the steals of the draft this year. As a lottery pick, he's nasty. And like even like at the Hoop Summit this year in this week in Portland, Nolan Traoré, a young point guard. I mean, like there's like so many French players right now. Why are there so many right now that are going to be in the league and that are coming into the league? What's going on?
What's going on? I think the system is catching up on all the talent we have in France, because we have an incredible pool of players physically, but also real basketball players, you know. And I think teams and organizations over there are realizing that there's something to be done. And I think, of course, I think I was a help for this, but I think Bilal, he helped a whole lot for this, because he was unheard of almost in like months before the draft. And, you know, just because he got an opportunity and that the organization trusted him, he went all this length.
He's playing on the second team at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I mean, the youth teams, like under 21.
And he's a lottery pick. It's
crazy lottery.
It's amazing how quick. I mean, like now, like for the Olympics coming up, You're gonna be sharing the floor with Rudy Gobert, number one and number two. We'll see which way in Defensive Player of the Year race. How much are you looking forward to? I'm sure like both of you guys are looking forward to going against Joel Embiid. He chose USA over France. That's gonna be the matchup you're most looking forward to playing.
Really? No, not at all.
One game at a time mentality.
Yeah, but like I never even thought about it. Yeah. No, we're trying to win. We don't. I mean, whoever, you know, it's the Olympics, it's only a few games. If hopefully we go all the way, you know, it doesn't matter who we play against.
So Olympics are coming up, season just ended. What's your plan? Like, how's your body feeling right now? What's the plan for kind of like prepping ahead for that?
My body's feeling great, you know. I'm great. It's feeling this way too. But you know, the fact that I'm feeling healthy and great, it just makes me feel like I didn't do enough. Like I wasn't hard enough for my body.
Got to play 82 then, right?
Yeah, I mean...
No more minutes restriction.
But the truth is, it was the right choice to do what we did. And that my body got stronger and better over the year. And that the adaptation capacity of NBA players is just incredible. I learned that this year. It's just incredible. And so my body's been good, but mentally I'm tired because, you know, whole NBA season. So I need to, you know, I'm going to rest for a little bit, 10 days or so, and then right back into San Antonio work until I join the national team.
Now in the past, I've heard Luka talk about how he feels like scoring's a bit easier in the NBA with the rules compared to overseas. Mm-hmm. That's his opinion, but I'm curious, like, is there anything that surprised you most about the NBA game compared to playing in France?
It's hard to describe, but it's like really a different approach. Yeah, you need pride. You need a lot of pride to play in the NBA. Like, because guys are just going to be hunting you and, you know, going at you. So you need a lot of pride. And, It's just so such a different approach that we would need an entire interview to talk about it.
Is there any rule changes that you'd like to see imported from overseas to the NBA?
No, I think the game is fine how it is right now. But I'm sure that there could be some rule changes, yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the league does, because it feels like right now a lot of the changes that the league talks about wanting to do would be like in favor of you, like the rumblings of like removing defensive 3 seconds. Like that would make you even greater as a defensive player. It would help out guys like Rudy, like in order to like, you know, but granted, whatever they did midseason with the whistles did kind of slow down offenses. But if they do install rule changes like that, it could further, you know, increase what you could be on defense.
Yeah.
What's it like for you to be, you know, when you hear somebody say you're the next LeBron or the next Jordan, the next potential greatest player of all time? What goes on through your mind when others say it?
People say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I say that. You do have a chance to be the greatest player of all time.
I mean, what goes on is not much, really. It's, I mean, over the last years, you know, growing up, I've just learned to know myself so much and more, you know, that, you know, I'm sure of who I am and what I'm doing. And there's just nothing that could, there's like nothing that could push me out of my way. And, or yeah, like, nobody could have expectations for me, really. I have my own expectations and they, 99% of the time they exceed all those expectations. So it's really just some noise, and it's, I don't pay attention to it.
You said in an interview with JJ Redick last year that you're free in the universe, and JJ responded saying, "I wish I was free in the universe," and you said, "You are." What did you mean by that?
What did I mean by you are?
Yeah, the you are. The you are seemed profound to me. You are.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know. I'm just a human. But, am I? No, like, at the end of the day, I don't know. I just think we have, all of us have a lot to accomplish. And, the goal for me in my life is to accomplish myself and to be a complete human being, you know. So I'm free to do what I want and what I need to do. And there's nothing that is going to stop me from doing so.
Have you always been wired this way? Like, did you choose to be wired this way, or were you like this when you were 9, 10, no. 11 years old?
No, definitely wasn't. And as I said before, it's in the last years, 4 or 5 years, I've learned a lot about myself. Because I chose to face, you know, the truths, and because I do think like my environment growing up was great for this, and my experiences were great for, you know, developing my personality and my identity, really. That I just feel like I'm immune to the things people try to tell me, oh, pay attention to this, or watch out, you know, all the bad things, like,
distractions.
Distractions, exactly, like partying, you know, like alcohol, drugs, whatever. Like, why would I ever do
that? You're just so focused on what it is that you desire.
Yeah, and also, I don't have nothing to compensate for, because I choose to face all the trauma, not really trauma, because I've had a good childhood, but like all the things that we have inside of us.
What do you mean by that? Like things you have inside of you?
I mean, we would need a whole interview for that. But no, it's like
part two.
Just like, I mean, I've lived the easy life, honestly. Like, I've always had food in my plate and had a nice family, and but like every one of us have had like experiences, and simple as that. We, you know, especially as a child, you know, they mark us. I mean, they have an impact on us. And if you don't face them, you have to compensate for them. So this is what I chose to do, face them.
we're out of time. So last question for you, Victor. What's your favorite memory from this season?
Favorite memory? Like, we're saying basketball. We're talking basketball,
could be anything.
Right?
Your whole past year, getting drafted, going to the Spurs, where you kind of felt like you were destined to go. And
The draft, hearing my name being called. And also, like, I flew, like, in San Antonio the next day, and my grandma called me, and she told me she was super happy to see that I realized my dream, and it just touched me, you know.
Well, Victor, I appreciate you taking the time to chat. It's been an absolute thrill to watch you this season. And, I mean, I'm incredibly excited to see where things go from here. And I know you get the right approach and mindset to go out there and get it.
For sure. Thanks, man. That was a pleasure.
Thank you.